Welcome to our final segment of the Business of Government Hour. I'm your host, Albert Morales, and today's conversation is with Stan Kaczmarczyk, Acting Associate Administrator for the Office of Government-Wide Policy at GSA. Also joining me from IBM is Paul Kayada. Stan, there is a lot in the press about new social networking models and technologies that are redefining the relationship of citizens and their government. In the past year, many federal agencies and communities have launched their own versions of a Wikipedia or a blog. And in fact, I think you mentioned that this was a direction that that GSA was heading in. Could you talk about the efforts within OGP to leverage these new social networking ideas and technologies? And how can these tools support your operations and mission?
We've done a number of things and will continue to do so. We've been a longtime supporter and contributor to a government-wide wiki called MAX, which is hosted by OMB. And as I mentioned, we're developing an internal wiki to, from a knowledge management standpoint, to capture all the processes and history of OGP before people walk out the door. Another thing that we started is our own blog, and I've been trying to get people to participate and blog along with me. I actually had to order the middle managers to blog. The only ones I had control over, and they begrudgingly did it and found it was fun. But we will continue to work with the administration on developing policies for using social networking tools such as Facebook, Twitter, and YouTube. I myself use some of these tools, so a shout out to all my Facebook friends and my Tweeples. And I have found them to be useful as far as business applications and making connections with people, and also a lot of fun.
As you certainly know, most work and accomplishments in the government is a team effort. So with this, could you elaborate on your approach to empowering employees, and how do you more specifically lead change and enable your staff and those within the organization to accept the inevitability of change, embrace it, and make the most of it?
I consider myself a good delegator, but I'm a delegator who never forgets. So as long as it gets done, you won't hear from me again. But if it doesn't get done, I'll probably remember that I delegated it to you. I believe in managing by results. And my experience early on managing the government-wide telework program, which I used to do more directly, showed me the value of that, because that's the only way you can manage people that are not in the office. You have to manage by results and not by what they're doing. As far as change goes, I try to maintain a consistent structure and tradition within the Office of Government-Wide Policy, so that even though there are changes in the work or the programs that we're doing, it's still the same place. I don't believe in making a lot of extraneous changes in the way we do things. So I try to keep some consistent core structure there as far as the management of OGP. A lot of people tend to react to what-if scenarios, I think, way too strongly. So when change is in the wind, I think it's good to discuss it. I think it's good to analyze it. But I don't think it's good to react to it emotionally as if it's already happened, because a lot of times things are discussed and never happen. And there's no point in investing all that emotion up front over things that are just being discussed. Constantly reminding people of our core mission and our statutory responsibilities. One of the things I've developed recently, which is a good handout when I brief about OGP, but it's also good for the benefit of the staff, is we have a multi-page spreadsheet that links all the programs and offices that we have to particular laws or executive orders or OMB circulars or statutory responsibilities, so that, you know, everything that we do for a reason. And all these things were being done, or most of these things were being done, before OGP was formed in other parts of GSA, and they were pulled together in OGP to consolidate the policy and regulations in one office. So if anything, anybody was to reorganize GSA or OGP, all these things would have to be done anyway. They just, you know, and you lose all the efficiencies of having them in one place. So it's a good way of reminding people that, you know, change will come, change is inevitable, but, you know, the office will go on.
So Stan, let's transition to the future. Can you give us a sense of some of the key issues that will affect GSA and government-wide policy over the next few years? And within these issues, how do you envision your office will need to evolve over these years?
As the leader of an organization that has five staff offices, it may not surprise you that I have a list of five challenges to discuss, each one corresponding to an office. But I think in the information technology area, the biggest challenge is the tension between more transparency and more security. So as we open up more of government process to the public and put more things on the web, At the same time, we need to be securing that even more. Then there's also the big picture of cybersecurity, all the stuff that's not open to the public. But, you know, everything is web-enabled these days. Everybody's using the Internet. And that includes, you know, the people who are protecting us, you know, in the military and security agencies. So there's a lot of vulnerability there, which I know the administration is – last administration and current administration are addressing. In the area of transportation, travel, and asset management, the one that the office that does the seven different administrative programs, that's the office that has real regulatory authority. The rest of the government must follow those regulations in fleet management, travel management, mail management, et cetera. We have been moving slowly over the years to a mindset where we are going to be developing performance measures, collecting data. I mentioned the vehicle registration system. And using that data to provide feedback and evaluation to the agencies themselves. So this is a way of managing, self-managing, kind of feedback loop. What's the best in class? You know, how am I doing compared to it? It's a completely different mindset from saying, okay, we're OGP, we're going to put the regulations in place in a collaborative manner, but, you know, here we're going to tell you how it's going to be done versus we're going to tell you how you're doing and let you compare that to the best in class and improve further. So it's not just a matter of putting the technology in place to do it, but it's a matter of shifting the culture of the organization. In the real property area, there's been a lot of talk about the state of the federal real property inventory. GAO has been upset with it. We're on the high-risk list for a number of years. There's been a real property initiative under Executive Order 13327. A lot of stuff has been done under that initiative. Recently, the Recovery Act allocated $5.5 billion for GSA to upgrade a number of its buildings, enabling us to get through a lot of our backlog of renovation projects, which is good. There's other money floating around the government under the Recovery Act, which is good. Unfortunately, from where I'm sitting, looking at the whole 3.4 billion square foot federal real property inventory, the problem is really big. We need to do more to renovate the buildings that we need continue to have a need for. We need to do more to dispose of the buildings that we don't need or that need too much money to fix up. And we need to do more in employing alternative work strategies such as telework and hoteling to reduce the amount of space that we need. We need to do that as a government. We need a government-wide approach. GAO calls this a need for a transformation strategy in the government. So that's the biggest challenge in that area. In the area of the regulations and the Regulatory Information Service Center that we talked about, as I said, there has been transparency and collaboration in that area already. We're going to be employing more Web 2.0 technologies to increase that. As we do that, we're going to have the public growing in importance as stakeholders in the regulatory process. And again, it's a culture shift, and it actually is a theme here. And that, you know, the technologies are tools, but it's how they impact the way we do business, and the culture shift that's needed to get from 1.0 to 2.0 is the real challenge. And in this case, you know, the folks in the regulatory arena are used to dealing with each other. You know, it's kind of a technical, analytical process. They're not as much used to dealing with the public as more active, vocal stakeholders in the process. So that's going to happen as we employ these new technologies. In the area of the Committee Management Secretariat, again, as I say, they've always been about openness and transparency. But again, as we modernize with the 2.0 technology, we're going to have to learn how to deal with what I call the gray areas. The FACA was passed in 1972. There was no such thing really as the Internet the way we know it today, but certainly, you know, Web 2.0, social networking back then. People are interacting using these tools right now, and I often look at it and say, are they doing something similar to an advisory committee or not? And how do we put policy in place to differentiate that? So again, it's kind of a culture shift, and maybe we need to modernize the act because 1972 was a different world from 2009.
So Stan, that's wonderful perspective there. As you reflect on your career and your transition from the private sector, what advice might you give to someone who's out there considering a career in public service?
Well, I would say, particularly to younger people, if you're considering a career in public service, do it now rather than wait till later. I know when you're younger, you say, well, the starting salary is higher in the private sector, and you kind of take the short-term perspective. But I would say do it now. You can always go to the private sector later on when you get some experience. And if it turns out you like the federal government and make a career of it, That's where you'll reap the most benefit of working for the federal government, with a long-term career and full realization of the benefits that are involved. I'd also say to people that I think, in my experience, I find that you learn more from others that you work with than you learn from an organization itself. And I've always found the quality of people that I deal with in the federal government to be impeccable, and particularly in GSA. I've worked with a number of wonderful people and smart people and dedicated people over the years. And you'll learn more from those folks than you will from any culture or from any school, really. Finally, I think the government, especially GSA in particular, is a place where you can be a generalist, or you can move around, you can learn different things. And if you're not sure of what you want to do, and if you're looking for a career change, maybe that applies. It's a good place to find yourself if you just come in and be flexible and be open to different things and new ideas. Then you can find your career.
That's wonderful advice. Thank you. Unfortunately, we have reached the end of our time. I want to thank you for fitting us into your busy schedule. But more importantly, Paul and I would like to thank you for your dedicated service to our country over the past 18 years in your role at GSA.
Thank you. I'd like to take this opportunity actually to thank my leadership team at the Office of Government-Wide Policy. We've had a couple of acting leaders over the last couple of years, including me now. Sometimes an organization can drift in that situation and just waiting for the next permanent leader. But we have such a solid leadership team in place that that has not happened. We've continued to move forward and make great progress on behalf of the government and the American people. I'd like to thank my acting deputy, Jim Dean, who's doing a fantastic job. I didn't think I needed a deputy, and Jim proved otherwise. Now I couldn't live without him. I'd like to thank Tony Butcher, who's my chief of staff. Becky Rhodes is the senior executive in charge of the Office of Travel, Transportation, and Asset Management. She's kind of the heart and soul of OGP. I'd like to thank or acknowledge Carolyn Austin Diggs, who was the head of the Real Property Policy Office, senior executive who took over that office behind me, enabling me to move on to the front office and not worry about the old shop. Peter Altman is the head of our IT Policy Office. John Thomas, the head of our Regulatory Information Service Center. And Bob Flack, who is the committee management secretariat. This is an impeccable leadership team, and I couldn't get anything done without them.
That's great. Thank you. This has been the Business of Government Hour, featuring a conversation with Stan Kesmarczyk, Acting Associate Administrator for the Office of Government-Wide Policy at GSA. My co-host has been Paul Cayatta, partner in IBM's Public Sector General Government Practice. As you enjoy the rest of your day, please take time to remember the men and women of our armed and civil services abroad, who may not be able to hear this morning's show on how we're improving their government, but who deserve our unconditional respect and support. For the Business of Government Hour, I'm Albert Morales. Thank you for listening.
This has been the Business of Government Hour. Be sure to join us every Saturday at 9 a.m. and visit us on the web at businessofgovernment.org. There you can learn more about our programs and get a transcript of today's conversation. Until next week, it's businessofgovernment.org.